Good morning. 7:40 a.m. on August 26, 2014. It's Tuesday. This is the most uninterrupted day I have all week. I've dropped the kid off. I don't have any chores I know of. I don't have to pick her up again until 4:15 because she has 17-1 on the first half. Good. So she has a choir after school. She's in the invitation-only audition jazz choir. Rather fun group for her to be part of, so that's good. But that means I've got from the time I post this to when I have to go back and pick her up, or when I have to start fixing supper, whichever comes first. Pretty much free of external imposition in terms of, you know, I should mow the lawn, but I can't mow the lawn today because of it's irrigation day, which means the lawn won't actually dry out until it's way too hot to mow. So, and even then, I'm not convinced it'll dry out enough, so that'll have to wait till tomorrow. Which is kind of a pain, because that means the backyard is going to be just as bad a shape as it was 2 weeks ago when I mowed it the last time. The overall temperatures haven't been very bad this week. It's been cloudy and overcast most of the week. A little bit of rain here and there. Nothing significant. It's supposed to be more rain today, I think. It was raining yesterday morning. If the day hadn't gotten so far away from me, by the time I realized what time it was, I probably would have walked even in the rain. GPS signal was lost and then restored. I'm thinking about television, oddly. One of the things I look at when I look at TV is how are the stories being told? What are they saying? How does it work? We watched As some of you know, I don't watch television. Periodically, we'll pick up a series from Netflix and watch it there. And there was a series called A Gifted Man that my wife started watching. It was a medical drama about a neurosurgeon who starts seeing his ex, or his dead ex-wife, and she haunts him. And so the question is he really seeing ghosts? Is this some sort of neurological artifact? Is this some sort of inner demon come to harry him and his... What the hell is with the GPS this morning? Anyway, it was an interesting story. It was an interesting premise, particularly since it wasn't like a ghost whisperer, one of those. It was actually pretty cool. And the writing was really never about the medicine. It was never about the technology. It was about the interaction among the characters. And it was a rather interesting and challenging bunch. So it was fun to watch, to see over the course of 16 episodes how they changed. I liked it. It was fun. It was engaging. And it was really too bad that it apparently got killed after one season, because there's only 16 episodes. So I don't know if it was actually killed or if that's all the episodes that Netflix has picked up. I should look into that. Because it was a good series. It was well written. It was unlike a lot of them, less contrived. Although the nature of it was that you always knew that when a new character showed up, before the first quarter mark in the story, that character is probably going to be cut open. It's going to have some dreadful, or in at least a couple of cases, pretty common, but still serious conditions. And the added complication of this very successful, very high paid neurosurgeon seeing the ghost of his dead wife was just one of those, okay, I didn't see that coming. An idea that didn't get really resolved by the end. In fact, it was interesting that a lot of it didn't get resolved at the end. It was like they didn't know they were being canceled. Or perhaps they did and they wanted to leave it much as they found it. Which is an arc I can respect. But when that was over, we went back to watching Heroes. Now, the first volume one of Heroes, the first season, which seemed to be pretty much going on forever, I thought it was interesting. It was kind of cute. It was kind of, yeah, okay, this is fun. It's a superhero comic book story, so you know, you can't take it too seriously. The action is all way over the top. The default position is, oh, they're a problem, we'll just kill them. Which is a little tedious after a while. It's like, really? The best you can hope for is lock them in an impregnable cell or kill them. Sometimes both. Lock them in an impregnable cell and then kill them. The main ambiguous character, Noah Bennett, the cheerleader's father, has a certain Walter White vibe to him. Yes, I'm doing terrible things, but I'm doing it to protect my family. A common theme. The ends justify the means idea. But we're on to volume 3. Volume 2, I have to say, was somewhat less engaging. It was interesting, sort of, kind of. But it was kind of gimmicked out. And the story wasn't as engaging as it might have been. We're into volume 3. We've watched like one episode of volume 3. And I gotta say, somebody cue the shark. I'm just not like the first episode or two. I don't remember how many we watched. Maybe two last night. Monk post. But it's like, okay, we've got all of this stuff going on, and what we're gonna do is mess with the viewer by throwing everything in there at once in the most confusing way possible, in order to keep them off guard and guessing. And the problem is, off guard and guessing is right up there with, until you make me care, I'm not going to guess much. It's sort of like buying a lottery ticket. If the payoff is 50 bucks, I'm not going to go out of my way. If I don't really care, I'm not going. I have the same problem with novels. If I don't care, I'm not going. So, I don't know. I'm kind of like, okay, this is getting really tedious. This is getting really silly. So at some point they have to save the world from something. We don't really know. A formula. We have characters acting out of character. We have characters doing things that are not in their, not, they've gone to a great deal of trouble to establish characters that act a particular way, and now those characters aren't doing that anymore. And they've got, they got people jumping backwards and forwards in time. They got people doing all kinds of weird stuff. They've introduced new characters who look so much like the old characters that you have to look twice to make sure it's not exactly the same person, just in a new role. The sassy, perky blonde. Come on, folks. What the hell? The speedster. Yeah. No, they call it the Flash. All right, I don't care. I just don't care. So that's kind of a problem. Probably one of the problems with series in general is that you have to keep the reader, you have to keep the viewer engaged by offering something different, and yet still with the same set of setting. The world building doesn't go to waste, but having the characters do something different, having the characters take a new path, having the characters moving in a physical direction as well as an emotional and mental direction, I think adds a certain level of interest that is kind of missing in Volume 3 of Heroes. I just don't care. Oh, which brings me back to Philip Nolte. Book 2 of his series, Junkyard Dogs. It's the Varitan Derelict. Morning. Yeah, you know, I was a little leery because the bad guys are the Islamics. The Sheikh of Barzum. Muslims. That's a little too, it's a little too facile. It's a little too, I'm not sure. But it doesn't, he also has some of the heroes be Muslim. One of the main ambassadors, one of the good guys, is of the same genetic and religious disposition. So yeah, I think he does a good job of not turning it into turban bashing. But he did something in this book. The first book was actually pretty good. I enjoyed it quite a lot. It's clearly a rough product. Now, this one isn't considerably better. But it was enough to get me to get to the buy link. And because of my history with him, I did buy it. I did read it. I read it all the way to the end. And in the end, he did something that makes me go, really, I actually thought better of you than this. No, it wasn't a cliffhanger. It wasn't a cliffhanger. It was, for all intents and purposes, an epilogue. It was actually the first chapter of the next book, but labeled as chapter whatever the hell it was at the end of the book. So it's a great hook for the next book. It should be the first chapter of the next book. But because he has so little faith in his own work, he felt the need to put it as the last chapter of that book. And it has nothing to do with that book. It has absolutely nothing to do with new characters, new setting. Well, not exactly new setting, but a setting that builds off the old characters that appeared in the first book. So it really has nothing to do with the second book, other than the second was a bridge that gets to book three. And it's like, seriously, Phil? You have so little faith in your skill, in your talent, in your work, that you feel the need to do this kind of stuff. Technically, it's not a cliffhanger. Nobody's actually in danger. It was tedious. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, yeah, I was disappointed. Will I read the next volume? I don't know. I like the idea. He has some interesting characters. He paints them well. They seem real to me. Sort of. He's done something that I have done myself, which he has too many names that sound too much alike. Harris and Hawkins and Hartwell. It's like, is this something I have to do periodically? Is pick a new letter. Barb and Beverly and Quartershare. Brill. Brill and Beverly. Anyway. So yeah, it's kind of a pain. It's a little difficult to tell him apart. He does have some interesting verbal tics that helps them tell them apart. It gets a little thick at times, which is also one of the things that I ran into with the engineer guy, Gramps. And 18.8 on the back half, not bad. So I'm moving along. I missed the last 3 days. I missed you guys. I really need to walk. Walking is a gift that I give to myself, and some days I just don't get it. Some days I just don't have it in me to give it to me. And this sleeping stuff, gosh, sleeping until 8 in the morning, that's ridiculous. But I must need it or I wouldn't be doing it. Oh well, with that in mind, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.